Welcome this morning. Thanks for joining the journey here as we're walking through the book of Proverbs and we're talking about wisdom. So needed in our lives today. So needed. And my hope today is to rehash what wisdom really is, because that's what we got to last week. We kind of defined it a little bit, probably not well, but we started to make an attempt at defining what biblical wisdom really is. And today I would love to answer the question, kind of what Proverbs are and why do you need them, right? It's because I'm going to make an appeal to you today for why you need that kind of literature from the Bible, why you need that kind of wisdom in your life. I'm gonna hopefully make that appeal. We'll see if you agree with me or not. I think I've got a good argument. And if we have time at the very end, we're going to see who wisdom hangs out with. Like, who's wisdom's buddy? You guys ever had a, if one was there, the other one was there, right? You heard of something. Oh, I heard John was out tearing around with the truck the other night. Oh, yeah. Well, I bet Ray was there too then. You know, like it's always, if there was one, the other one was. Well, there's a buddy of wisdom's that we're going to find out who hangs out with wisdom. If we get to that, we'll look at that too. So getting started, last week we learned our Hebrew word for the week. You got to clear your throat a little bit. It's Chokmah, but it's actually, if you're going to do it in Hebrew, it's Chokmah. You got to kind of, yep, Chokmah. Try it once. It kind of feels good. Chokmah, yep, and then spit, whatever. That's the word in Hebrew for wisdom. And this is a review if you were here last week, but Chokmah is translated wisdom, but it's also translated skill. See, we think of wisdom as this purely intellectual, kind of this, like it's knowledge plus, right? It's like a super knowledge, right? Kind of that's what wisdom is. But biblical wisdom is a little different twist than that. It allows us to do life well. And not just any life, God life. It allows us to do God life well. Some things that are true of Chokmah, of wisdom, which is also translated skill at times. It's an attribute of God. So this isn't just like some random smarts of the universe, right? This is the wisdom of God. Say, of God. It's the wisdom of God, from God, of Him, right? And it's not just things God's telling us. It's the way of doing life. It's also applied knowledge is different than knowledge. Wisdom is not just being smart. It's not just knowing things. How many are good at memorizing things? You can memorize stuff pretty well. A few of you, yeah. It's not just being able to recite facts. It's not just knowing things. It's how to take that knowledge and what do I do with that? That's what wisdom is. What do I do with that? Remember, we've said this 3 or 4 weeks now. One way of looking at wisdom is hindsight, you know, when you get through something and you're like, oh, you're looking back on it. I wish I could have done that different. Oh, I wish I would have known. I wish I would have. What wisdom allows you to do is, in a way, have hindsight at the beginning of the thing. You look at wisdom, look at it in the Proverbs, and it's always talking about pathways and avoiding things. And so we also found out that it's skill. We talked about that already. And one of the weird, it sounds weird when you just look at it that way, but wisdom is woven into the fabric of creation. We read wisdom's speech in Proverbs chapter 8. You know, I was there by the Lord's side, you know, delighting in Him and in creation. You know, He brought me forth as the first of His works. By wisdom, the Lord founded all of this. And so we see wisdom kind of built into our universe. And it's the wisdom of God. And I'm not, that sounds New Agey or whatever. That's because New Agey has captured that and kind of made it a different religion. You'll find that kind of language in the Word of God, but it comes from a person in quotes. It comes from God. It comes from a mind. It comes from the supreme, uncreated one. It comes from the eternal being of God. The Proverbs said this. We read this verse last week. This is wisdom's speech. So wisdom is talking. And wisdom is saying, by me, kings reign and rule, all who do justice on earth and all who rule fairly. Anytime you see rulers ruling fairly and doing well and doing just things, even if they don't know God from a hole in the ground, they've tapped into this common grace of wisdom. So wisdom is built into the fabric. And yet, that's not to get too weird or whatever, but just we're just kind of defining it. So it's an attribute of God. It's applied knowledge, a skill. I found a couple more definitions that I did not share last week, and so I just want to read a couple of these real quick before we move on. Ray Ortlund, I'm reading his book called Wisdom, which is phenomenal. He's a retired pastor. He says that wisdom is skill and it's expertise, it's competence that understands how life really works and how to achieve successful, and love this, even beautiful results. You'll often see beauty tied to wisdom in the scriptures. Now, when you think of wisdom, you think of like, I mean, just if I'm going to be honest, most of us probably think of like really smart. Boy, they really know what they're doing. Wisdom is tied to beauty. When you see the beauty of a sunset, that's wisdom. And I just want to just keep pounding at that to kind of challenge kind of our small ideas of what the wisdom of God is. It is smarts in a sense. It is intellectual in a sense. It's knowing, but it's also being able to apply that for a purpose. It, not just to be smart. It's for a purpose. It's to live skillfully in godly lives. And we'll see that. I think it's in this next quote. The word chokmah, they spelled it like I spelled it, because a lot of them spell it with the C in front, and I said you guys would call it chokmah, and that's not how it's pronounced. They spell it, I think they have a little thing under the H there, chokmah. This word chokmah, or wisdom, in the Old Testament often refers, listen to it, follow along with me, it often refers to the mental and physical skills of craftsmen, sailors, singers, mourners, administrators, counselors, and others. So their skill, the skill in them, so they have the chokmah to be able to sail well and navigate the waters. They have the chokmah to be able to sing their songs with beauty and precision. They have the chokmah to administrate justice, to be a judge and to rule, right? They have skill to do that. But going on, in other times, as in Proverbs, it focuses on the application, I know these are big words here, but on the application of moral and ethical principles, the result is skillful, godly living. Listen, look at this last sentence. A person with this kind of wisdom has expertise in godly living. That's the end result. That's the goal of wisdom. You see, God wants us to do well in this life. He put us in a garden, and he didn't just look for ways to trap us and trip us up. We did well enough with that on our own, right? But his purpose was for us to do well. To do well, to thrive. Like, we're built to do well. We're not built to be in misery and to struggle, but that's the world that we live in. Wisdom helps us to avoid some of that. And we read last time, I didn't put any of those slides back up, but how wisdom was talking about how I was there when God carved out, set boundaries. He got this all this language. There's about five or six of them in this one section where he's setting the boundary of the sea. He separated the heavens from the earth and the light from the darkness. There's all this carving and boundary lines. And so that's what wisdom does. Wisdom gives you boundary lines for your life. Don't do that. Don't cross this boundary line. Because if you want to do well, if you cross this boundary line and you start living life like this, you won't do well. It'll end in death. So we said boundaries and pathways. But here's what you should do. It gives you ways that you can avoid all the pitfalls. How many of you know that there's pitfalls out there? Right? There's ways for you, just being well-meaning, ho-hum, doo-ka-doo, to fall in a pit, right? Just not even trying to be evil. There's ways for you to get, anyone ever just get sucked into a bad situation? Nobody? Okay, let's move on. Oh, okay, right? And you just got, you like, not trying to play, because we're not being victims either. So not like, that's not even my fault. But we weren't paying attention. We're not even trying to be dumb or bad or whatever, but you get sucked into it. You maybe crossed the boundary that you didn't realize, or you weren't on the path that you should be. And all of a sudden, we're in way deeper, way harder, way messier than I ever thought it was going to be. Wisdom, that's what wisdom excels at. Steering your life clear of those kind of things. Warren Wiersbe, if you have never read any of Warren Wiersbe's commentaries, he writes commentaries, and he has a series called the B series, and I've got almost all of them in digital form, so I can't borrow them to you, but I would if I could, but they're written in language that's really accessible to just, you don't have to have a theology degree, and I love his stuff. This is a quote from him. Warren Wiersbe says, "We're living in the information age, but we certainly aren't living in the age of wisdom." True statement? Yes, true statement. This is kind of one of the finishing ones from last time. I don't know if we put the slide up, but we quoted it. Blessed are those, this is Proverbs 8, this is kind of in the middle of wisdom's speech. Blessed are those who listen to me. Listen to who? Listen to wisdom. Because wisdom is giving this big speech about how to live your life. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me, find life. And they receive favor from the Lord. Ray Ortland also says this. The world is saying, live and learn. God is saying, learn and live. I'll let that just sink in for a second. The world says, well, live and learn. God says, hold on. Wisdom is like, wait. You don't have to live and learn. You can learn and have life. You can follow the pathway around the pitfalls and not get sucked into foolishness. You can live well. You don't have to just learn the hard way. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Anyone ever have to learn the hard way? Right? George? Yes, I think we all would. But like some of us are just more built to have to learn the hard way. Right, Mom? My mother's being kind today, but she would say yes. In fact, she would say it sometimes with gritted teeth and clenched fists. Why do you have to learn the hard way? I don't know if you ever said that to me or not. You probably did. It's true, and it was true, and it was a great question. Oh, and this was the question that we're trying to answer, that wisdom has the answer for, is this question. This is still review from last time. What kind of world are we living in? Like, how does this world function? And the second question, how do we live well in it? Like, that's the questions that wisdom wants to answer. If you're trying to put wisdom into another box, it doesn't always fit, but it fits well in this box. It wants to answer the question, what is this world like? What are people like? What is the fabric of this universe like? How are we made up? And how do I do well in this world that I've been planted in? All right, moving on. Proverbs. We are getting into Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that was written primarily by Solomon. And then, anyone have a cousin named Agur? Agur? I don't know how you say that. And Lemuel? They're also contributing authors of this. We don't know a lot about them other than they wrote part of Proverbs, or at least assembled some things. And there's a couple other contributing people in there, but those are kind of your primary ones. But mostly we attribute it to Solomon, and we think he composed a lot of it. And Proverbs, what do you think of when you think of Proverbs? What do you think of when you think of Proverbs? Yep, practical. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And it's essentially these statements on all the stuff that we just said, how to walk with skill in this life, how to do well, how to live in this world that we've been given. And we often think of the Proverbs. See, the first 9 chapters, I think it is, of Proverbs, you're not going to find all the little pithy sayings, you know? Too many cooks spoil the broth or whatever. That's not in Proverbs. But, you know, little sayings like that, little snippets like that. Bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush, right? Those are little Proverbs. They aren't necessarily biblical proverbs. Those are what you would call a proverb, a little saying. They're meant to be memorable. They're meant to be repeatable. And I was just telling someone the other day, it's like anyone when you were little, have you ever said as a parent, maybe that's a better way to phrase it, hey, shut the light off. Close the door. Nobody? Okay. Sometimes when you have kids around, they'll walk out of the room and they'll leave the light on. Some parents don't like that because they have to pay more electricity, or they've air conditioned their house. Their house is now 70 degrees. The outside is 113. And what does the kid do when they run outside? Leaves the door in which position? Open. Cooling the outside. Absolutely. Trying to help their neighbors. Right. Being loving. But what do the mean parents do? Close the door. Why do we want them to do that? Well, we want to be good stewards of our resources, and we don't want to pay for all of my neighbor's cooling, right? So and how many times do we have to say, shut the light off and close the door? One good time, maybe if we just write it on good stationery, then the children will get it, right, Sydney? Like, one time is enough, correct? It has to be said all the time. And Proverbs are like that. If you read through the Proverbs and you take some notes on it and you're like, man, that's good. All right, I got that licked. Let's go on to the next book of the Bible. It's not happening. Proverbs are meant to be those repeatable sayings, those repeatable things in our life to help us steer clear of those pitfalls. Because just because you read it and understood it and got some great notes and some great insight, it's the kind of thing, they're melodic and they're, you know, they're, I wonder what they're like in the Hebrew. We are reading them in English. Wow. In English. I can't even say it in English. We're reading them in English. I don't know what the cadence of them is in Hebrew. I bet they're pretty, some of them are pretty cool. But they're meant to be short little training, teaching. And this is the word of God. Okay, don't let, as I'm explaining them to you, don't let me belittle them, because I'm not at all. I'm just trying to give you a sense of what they are. And they're meant to be repeated and easily accessible. So that's what we normally think of. But you got your first nine chapters, which is like, you know, kind of different speeches from the different people that are trying to get your attention. We'll talk about that maybe next time. And then at the end, there's some more of those. But in the middle, there's a whole bunch of these little sayings. And so someone said this: a proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. I'll just let that sink in. A proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. So the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of Agar and Lemuel and other contributors, wouldn't you rather, maybe you wouldn't, but wouldn't you rather learn from someone else so that you don't have to repeat the same mistakes? I know that any parent that has a heart at all for their children wants to see them learn from their mistakes before the children have to commit them, right? Like, help them to steer clear of the pitfalls. So we're asking this question: what role do proverbs and wisdom have in the kingdom of God? They're in the Bible, so they must have a reason. There must be a purpose for them. Maybe a lot of you aren't proverb kind of people. I don't know. Maybe you're just not wisdom people. I'm going to read something that I'd never really thought of it like in this terms before. Another quote from Ray Ortland. He says this: during the Old Testament era, God standardized his speaking to us in three ways. The priests taught his law, the prophets declared his word, and the sages or the wise men gave his counsel. And so he puts this in his book. He puts Jeremiah 18:18. I thought to myself, hey, self, let's go look up Jeremiah 18:18. So I'm going to save you the trip here, and I'm going to do it for you. Jeremiah 18:18 says this. It's some evil people talking, but they said, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah, for the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. So I like how they laid out, this is one time where, please don't ever follow this advice, but we don't need to worry about the context of this. Normally that's really bad advice when you're reading the Bible. You always want to know context, but we're just really pointing out that they're kind of delineating those three different, you know, the priests and the prophets and the wise, the sages, the wise people giving counsel. And so what role does that counsel have in our life? Because I think a lot of us, we're really excited about the priests, you know, the law. God says do this, you know, obedience. Like, man, and believe me, we need to. But, you know, the word of God says this or whatever. And other of us, we're pretty gung-ho on the prophets, man. We love what God is saying and doing right now. We heard it in Georgia. Yeah, revival, man. Sign me up. Oh, my word. Like, we need Jesus. We need every ounce we can get of the Holy Spirit today. But if we stay only in both of those camps, we're missing a big chunk of what God has to offer for our lives. And let me read again another Ray Ortland quote here. I've got a few more of his. Both the commands of the law and the thunderings of the prophets spread out before us the gigantic truths of God. Okay, so big word again. The meta-narrative, the big story, that makes sense of everything. But we need more. We live day by day in a world where there are details of character small enough to escape the mesh of the law and the broadsides of the prophets, but yet they're decisive in personal dealing. So what he's saying there's things that are important to your life that God cares about and God has spoken to that don't really fall in either one of those categories. Now, some of you, you're saying, well, listen, if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit and you're just led by the Holy Spirit, I agree with that. There's multiple ways of getting to wisdom. Proverbs is one of those pathways, you know, wisdom literature in the Bible. But how many of you have ever had a day where maybe you did not listen to the Holy Spirit as completely as you should have? Nobody? Okay, good. Thank you. All right. glad that you guys are on par 24/7, but sometimes we don't always hear like we should hear, right? Proverbs gives us another on-ramp. It gives us another access point to the wisdom of God. Now, I would love if every one of you could pass a lie detector and you could come up here and you'd be like, you know what, 24/7, I follow the nudge of the Lord, and I just, if God says do this, I do it, and if he says don't, I don't ever react in my flesh, I don't ever step off the path, I would love that. I don't know, maybe that's true. But if that's not true, you need wisdom. You need wisdom literature, and we need the wisdom of God. So what he's saying is there's a category over here, and these are Bible, like the law, the obedience, right? And what God's doing and what God's speaking today. Those are huge. But there's a big part of our life from Monday to Saturday, right? There's a big part of our life that there's other stuff. And we go, oh, what about that kind of stuff? For instance, I got four proverbs here quick for you. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. Oh man, I got this idea. We're going to invent this one thing, right? And the guy hasn't had a job in 13 years, but he's like, oh, but I, you know, like, right? We all know people like that. They're really excited. They don't like working. So that's what this proverb is talking about. And it's just this little nugget. See, it's in chapter 12. It's in the middle section where there's all these little sayings. And one who works his land, like, do your stuff. Go to work. He'll have plenty of food. But if you're just off, and maybe you're really excited, and maybe you think you got a God idea, whatever. And so Solomon is just putting this out there as a nugget of wisdom, saying, well, ideas are great and super good. You should go to work, too, in the meantime. Maybe work on your ideas after work or whatever. You know, not to get too much in the weeds with that, but he's just throwing a nugget out. Where in this, where do we see that we're breaking one of the Ten Commandments? Don't. Chasing a fantasy. I mean, I got this idea, and I just really think it's maybe a great idea for our lives, and it's really going to have. What commandment have I broken? You haven't. You see, it falls in that, but you know what? If I keep chasing fantasies, all of a sudden I'm going to be eating ramen, right? Because I haven't gone to work. I can see you're not believing me. That's all right. We'll go to the next one. A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. Now, those of you that are not into the proverb kind of literature, you're like, see, stupid stuff. I can't call the Bible stupid. What do I... God knows what I really think about this kind of stuff. It's how the world works and how to do life well. Just hang with me. Let me just draw you in. Let me invite you in here. There's a large swath of your life that we end up shooting ourselves in the foot because there's a lot of how to live and navigate life and people and sexuality and work and friendships and relationships that is in wisdom literature that's not necessarily breaking a commandment or not. It's not necessarily what is God saying? What's the Lord saying in these days? It's not necessarily falling into one of those places. It's wisdom. This says, how many do this with me? Let me bring you back to unity here. Let's follow with me. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand. You love the morning. Man, you love, oh, you guys are nasty. How many of you are more of a night person? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Yes, I don't know what the Lord was doing when he made us, but he was distracted or something. That's not true. I'm kidding. But yeah, us people that are not super cheerful in the morning, we need a pot or two of coffee just to kind of get the gears working and functioning. You morning people, we love you. But Proverbs is telling us a loud and cheerful greeting. Listen, this is in the Word of God here. A loud and cheerful greeting will be taken as a curse. Now, does it say that it's a sin to give a loud and cheerful greeting? It does not. It's telling you how life works. Well, I've got the joy of the Lord, and if they don't want to hear that in the morning, then they're just dumb. I don't know. I don't know why they don't invite me for breakfast anymore. You know, it's just the devil trying to steal my friendships. Come on. Oh, now we're starting to hurt. That's what wisdom is trying to do. it's trying to say things, and it's full of things that are, Proverbs is full of things that are sin and whatever, and like it talks about them. But there's all these other areas of our life that need some propping up, and wisdom wants to guide us through. Wisdom is saying, hey, be cheerful. If you want no friends, go greet them in the morning loudly and cheerfully. They'll be happy to not have you around anymore. But then don't pout because you have no friends. That's what wisdom's trying to do. It's trying to help us to live life well. Funny story. I've got a friend, a great friend, a best friend of Marnie and I's. His parents were traveling evangelists, and he sang from when he was a little kid, and he is a phenomenal. I mean, just one of the best singers I know. Just phenomenal. And so that's what they did. That's what their family did. They traveled. So we had a lock-in. And so right here in this spot, there was probably about 30 kids sleeping. And so this guy comes out, and his grandpa used to sing a song. And it was Lazy Bones Lying in the Sun. How do you expect to get the day's work done? Okay? And grandpa's from here, just from up in the hills. Lazy Bones Lying in the Sun. How do you expect to get the day's work done? Right? Well, this guy has a booming voice. I mean, just loud voice. I mean, just in rich, and I mean, just could do opera if he wanted. So funny moment. It's like 7 in the morning, you know, and I don't know if you've been around teenagers in the morning, especially after a lock-in. They're not really excited about anything at 7 in the morning. And so he comes walking through, Lazy Bones Lying in the Sun. How do you expect to get today's work? Oh, you know, he's trying to wake everybody up. And kids are not happy at all. And so one of them goes, don't quit your day job. And another kid goes, that is his day job. It's a memory that I will remember from youth pastoring for forever. It was so funny. But that's what Proverbs is saying here, is if you just want to create, there's wisdom that will show you ways to, anyone ever had something that you had to grease or oil before? Like a piece of equipment or... You get to decide if you want to pump in grease or sand. Does that make sense? We're not talking about disobeying God and like there's parts of Proverbs that it absolutely is. But we're not talking about command. We're talking about just doing life well. Why would you want to make problems for ourselves? Why would you want to put sand in there? Well, we'll find out as we keep reading Proverbs. It'll tell us why we do. Even fools, there's another nugget. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. So even me, even if I stood here long enough with my mouth quiet, he'd be like, that pastor, he's pretty smart. But usually I open my mouth enough so that you guys are like, nah, not so much. But that's what this proverb is saying. You don't need to be talking all the time. Shh. Last one. A cheerful heart is good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs is, so where's the command of God? Where's the law that we're breaking or fulfilling in this? It's not there. And yet it's telling us that there's benefit to our body by being cheerful. Where are you going to find that? Like, do you see what I mean? Wisdom fills this big swath of our life where we live real life. And we end up, the language that he used, Ray Ortland used a couple times, is shooting ourselves in the foot. We end up creating problems for ourselves that are unnecessary. Now, can we get to this place by just listening to the Holy Spirit? I would say yes. But again, wisdom, Proverbs, the wisdom literature, the wisdom of God, it gives us another access point to help. Some of y'all need help. I don't know if I've ever said y'all before in a message, but we need help. We need help not messing things up. And we're not trying to be bad. We're not trying to create friction. We're not trying to annoy people. We're not trying to wreck friendships. We're not trying to be evil. But we're not being wise. And so that's the natural result, is it ends up, the gears just don't work well. wisdom is oil and grease, and it just makes things work well. Not to mention, you know, like Ray shared this morning, just the revelation. There's that part of it as well. But right now we're just talking about what role, why do we need these? You know what? I'm fine. I just hear the Lord, whatever. For those days that maybe you don't hear the Lord or whatever, just dive into Proverbs a little bit. Ask for the wisdom of the Lord, because it talks about those, some of the things that aren't necessarily law or not. It's not necessarily right or wrong. It's doing it well. He cares about the understanding of the massive truths of our existence, okay, the big things in our life, but he also cares about the little things, the nuances that make a difference in our relationships and experiences every day. Even if we do seek the holiness of the law, and we do, even if we're inspired by the visions of the prophets, and we are, we can still make a mess of our lives, make a mess of our families, make a mess of our churches, make a mess of our workplaces, and make a mess of our communities if we're unwise. Would you agree with that statement? I do. Like, we're well-meaning. Follow, again, this is Ray, this next comment, but this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. If we have love but not wisdom, we'll harm people with the best of intentions. I love them, and I'll end up just saying something at a bad time or in a wrong way. I take a lie detector test. Man, I just tried to tell them something because I loved them, and it all went south. Anyone ever have one of those moments? If we have courage but not wisdom, we'll blunder boldly, right? We'll make a mess of things, but we'll do it boldly. If we have truth but not wisdom, we'll make the gospel ugly to other people. If we have technology but not wisdom, we'll use the best communications ever invented to broadcast stupidity. Amen. This one cuts to my heart. If we have revival but not wisdom, we'll use the power of God to throw the church in reverse gear. And I struggled with this, not this statement. The statement's brand new to me. I struggled with this concept because I watched people be in revival. I watched what I felt like was a genuine move of God. People were being transformed, and they would just kind of blow up. And it's really easy to over-spiritualize it and just say, well, they just got in the flesh. And that's really true. But what is wisdom trying to do? It's trying to keep us in the heart of God. It's trying to give us insight to navigate. We just need more of the power of God. You're going to hear me say that all the time. We do. I believe it with every fiber in my being, but I also believe we also need more wisdom. Because so many times we've had the power of God and we've hurt people with it. Not intentionally. I don't believe that we're often nefarious. We're not trying to, but we're unwise. I'm just speaking the truth in love, brother. Now I'm just going to go tell you every opinion that I've had since 1943 about you. Man, come on. That's not wise. Well, that's what the word says. It also says a lot of other things. That's why you don't have any friends. Well, the devil's just trying to steal them away. They don't want to listen to me. I got the word of God in me. Bless God. We need people that have courage to stand upon the word of God, to not be moved, but also walk in wisdom so that we can capture hearts along the way and not just create a mess. So, finishing up here, Proverbs of Solomon, all right, we read this last time. Remember I asked you, for gaining wisdom and instruction, I've highlighted all of it, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction, for giving prudence. What is for giving prudence? What's for receiving? The Proverbs are. So, for gaining wisdom and instruction, we're going to end with this friend of wisdom here, all right? Wisdom's got a buddy. Where you see wisdom, something else is there. Someone else is there. Look at these two. Prudent and prudence. Prudence. Say prudence. Prudence. That's not a word that we use every day, is it? Prudent. I was trying to think of that guy. Wasn't there a guy that ran for president? What was his name in the 90s? Wouldn't be prudent. Who's it? Was that him? Or was that? Anyways, one of the guys. Maybe it was one of the other presidents. I thought they used to say prudent. But I don't think we use that word often. Prudent, what is it? And then in wisdom speech in Proverbs chapter 8, I love that section of scripture. It says this, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. Let me back up again. So the Proverbs are for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. So you're supposed to have prudent behavior. If you want to walk in wisdom, you need to have prudent behavior. for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple. So you can get prudence. All right, let's go to the store. What are we getting today? Prudence, hopefully. We need some prudence. Then we see, again, what we just read. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I hang out with prudence. What in the world is prudence? That's what we're going to end with today, finding out what prudence is. It's the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Well, that sounds not that definitive. We'll explain what that means. Prudence also means skill and good judgment in the use of resources. Not like we're just carving a space here. We'll get better. This will get better. Webster's Dictionary defines prudent as acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Now we're getting somewhere. All right, now we're starting to maybe shine a light on what prudence is. If you're prudent, you think about the future. It's showing care. So prudence means cautious, practical wisdom, means good judgment, discretion, exercising caution in preparing for the future in a judicious manner. Preacher, could you put any more big words in there? Like, just say what it is. It is giving thought to our ways. So who does wisdom hang out with? Hangs out with prudence. So if you want to find wisdom, look for prudence, right? Oh, where's Taylor? I don't know. Well, let's look for Michael. Where's Michael at? And then we'll maybe find Taylor, right? You know what I mean? Let's look for the one and we'll maybe find the other one. So what is prudence? Prudence is this thoughtfulness about my ways. Stephen and I, we use a phrase all the time, living life on autopilot. And we never use that in a good way. It's always in a negative connotation. We just get in a rut. We just get in, and not even a bad rut sometimes. We just don't think about what we're doing. I do what I do, and that's what I do, right? Hey, anyone remember, I don't know, there's some of you that are old enough to remember this commercial. Time to make the donuts, right? Remember the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial? It was that cook, and he would always be going out, Dunkin' Donuts, we are commitment to you to have the freshest whatever, time to make the donuts. And so it's just this one after another of him walking out to make the donuts. And the commercial ends with him opening the door, time to make the donuts. And then he comes back, you made the donuts. Like it was him, you know. He's in a rut. He's just on autopilot. That was just not a great illustration for you guys. Yes. Write that one down. Not use the donut one anymore. But just this autopilot of life, not thinking about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and not even in the big things. See, wisdom wants to invade all these little places in our life that we're just short-circuiting things that could go better. And we're just doing, maybe dumb is too strong of a word, unthoughtful things. Maybe we just don't even know better. So in order to have wisdom, you got to hang out with prudence. You got to invite prudence into your life. So I think this is my last slide today. It is. Prudence means giving thought to your ways, considering what you say when, before you say it. Whoa, that just came out. Well, think about what comes out of our mouths before we say it. Think about what you're going to do before we do it. Making less impulsive decisions. All right, all the sanguine personalities in the room just shriveled up and died a little bit. We're not talking about not being spontaneous, but we're talking about in the course of our life. One of the reasons that we don't think about our ways, we don't give thought to our ways, is because we're just careless. We just don't. We're not meaning anything by it. We just don't. Another one of the ways is a little more insidious. It's because I don't want to change. I like my ways. And that's, I think, probably what we'll get into next week. I'm not sure, but that's where we come into a problem. I do what I do because I like what I do. And so there's no prudence in that statement. You're not hanging out with prudence. So guess who else is not going to show up at your door? Wisdom. We don't get wisdom when we don't walk in prudence. In order for us to walk in wisdom, we have to be willing to give thought to what we do and why we do it. And for some of us, that's intimidating. Maybe it feels like if I examine my life, maybe I'll get, too depressed or too, like it feels like, you can end up feeling like, oh, I'm doing this wrong or whatever. Like it's intimidating. It's scary. But wisdom is just placing a hand on your shoulder and just say, hang in there. Like, this is not a witch hunt. It's not looking to find out how bad you are. It's looking to find out how good you can be. How smooth and straight the paths of wisdom can make your life. How many pitfalls we can avoid. How we can do this well. And I just want to say that it's not the law, and it's not prophetic. It's this big area of our life that we all need help in. How do I do friendships better? How do I stop being the guy at the office that everybody can't stand having around? How do I love people in a way that they can receive it and I don't just get frustrated and they don't get frustrated? How can I have a great marriage? How can I get through to my kids? That's how can I work well and benefit my community? How do I handle my money? How do I handle things in life? That's what Proverbs is talking about. That's what wisdom wants to talk about. There are clear-cut guidelines. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. There's clear commands. Do this, do this, do this. There's prophetic scripture, right? And that's we need to walk by that. But what about the in-between? And I'll finish with this. My whole life, I've watched myself and I've watched other people that I'm confident in my own heart, I'm confident in their hearts, loved Jesus, loved other people, and had the Spirit of God in their lives, were anointed. And I watched them blow stuff up, myself included. And I look at wisdom now going, I wasn't wrong in my motive. I wasn't wrong in my intentions. I had the Spirit of God. I always used to think, man, if you've got the Spirit of God, then you do it like it's all good. Like you're all good. Like, read the scriptures. There's a spirit of wisdom. There is actually one of the words, like if we could really listen to everything the Holy Spirit's saying, I think that would be true, but often we don't. And so we need wisdom to help us to not blow stuff up and not wreck things. Not that we're sinning. Not that we're just trying to be evil. Not that we're trying to make enemies. But often we do. And often we take a good thing and we throw a little bit of dynamite in with the fruit pie. Because, right? This is so good. But we're not wise enough and it just goes, we're like, oh no, that must not have been God. Sometimes it really was. We just needed more wisdom. Does that make sense? That's what wisdom wants to do in our lives. Let's pray. God, I just pray that we would have an appetite and an insight to want to walk in wisdom. Lord, you want to keep our lives from being a train wreck. And Lord, we see in the Proverbs all the way from absolutely killing us to just making our life hard. You want to give us a good path. And I just pray that this church would walk in a good path, that we'd walk in wisdom, that you'd give us the tools that we need. Pray that over all these people in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.